Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, Will Ramo. Hey, what's up, Mac? What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. You know, a busy day in sports on a Sunday evening. You know, we're going to talk about what's going on in the world of sports with MLB, what's the latest with the Mets and the Yankees, as they both had very pivotal games this week that just passed. And also we're going to talk about, you know, what's going on in NHL and the shocking departure of Lou Lamoriello. You know, he went to the Maple Leafs after spending 27 years at least with the New Jersey Devil. We're going to talk about that also. And, you know, we're also going to talk about you know, the Hulk Hogan scandal, which shocked the entertainment and sporting world. And as usual, you know, we're going to end the show with a little WWE, give our little feedback about the Battleground pay-per-view event and what to expect in the upcoming SummerSlam and tomorrow's Raw. And, of course, You know, the number is, of course, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call in, share your thoughts, and with that in mind, thank you for tuning into the show. And with that, let's talk a little baseball, man. And the Mets, you know, they have a pivotal series. You know, they lost to the Nationals, and after they fell to the Nationals, they battled the Dodgers. They split the series. The big news out of the Mets is that they called up Michael Conforto. The guy, he made his debut on Friday night, got an RBI ground out Saturday, Friday night, they lost to Kershaw.
Right.
On Saturday, I think it was Thursday they lost to the Kershaw. Friday, they were going to face Greinke, but Greinke had the birth of his child, so he skipped his start. You know, as a Mets fan, I thought we breathed a sigh of relief. I mean, the guy had the lowest ERA in baseball.
Yep.
1.30 ERA going into the game. Not to mention at least a 46 straight scoreless streak, which is fourth all time in Major League history. You know, he was trying to beat former Dodger and former Met Oral Hershiser's overall record that he set in '88. But before I get to that, the Mets they had a big explosion on Saturday. They scored 15 runs, which was of course a season high. They had 21 hits. Four Mets homered, four or five Mets homered. Duda had two home runs. Conforto had a 4-4-4 day. He had his first four major league hits yesterday. Kirk Nieuwenhuis, coming off his recent game where he hit three home runs in the last homestand, he had a 4-4-4 game also on Saturday. And Kelly Johnson hit his first Met home run, and of course, Kelly Johnson came in the trade that the Mets made on Friday night, which Mets acquired Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe, you know, the veteran guy who played multiple positions, most recently third base. He's a two-time World Series champion with the White Sox and the Giants.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I know it's not a major trade. It's not Tula Whiskey. It's not Justin Upton. Hopefully, you guys can try to get one of those guys. But, you know, the asking price, it seems a lot, it's, you know, too steep for the Mets. I believe it when I see it, when the Mets actually pull the trigger on a major trade. You know, it hasn't happened in at least 4 or 5 years. But to me, I don't know about you. I mean, I know you're a Yankee fan. You wouldn't care less, but I mean, to me, I like the trade a lot. I mean, you get two veteran guys, and of course, Uribe has that. Both guys are hard nosed players. Uribe has a reputation of being a good clubhouse guy, and I mean, the guys are two legitimate major league hitters, and the Mets desperately need that. And the best part of the trade, once I heard that they were coming to the Mets, acquired from the Braves, my thoughts was, okay, who did they give up? Because I remember flashing back into 2003 or 2004, when they got Chris Benson and Victor Zambrano. So yeah. I was like, okay, those guys, decent pitchers. I mean, they're not all-star type guys. Who did they give up? As soon as I found out they gave up Scott Kazmir, man, man, I still hasn't. It's Kazmir, man. To this day, man, I hope Mets can acquire him in the off season, this upcoming off season, because, you know, he had a very good career. You know, he was highly touted by the Mets. Fortunately, you know, they traded him away to Tampa Bay. You know, he led them to the, you know, to the World Series in 08.
Yeah.
And, you know, he bounced around with the Angels, went to the A's, and then he got traded to Astros, where he had his, you know, a terrific start in his Astro debut.
I think he was also with Phillies, wasn't he?
No, he never went with the he never went to the Phillies yet. Anyway, I mean, who knows?
All right, it's Angels, yeah.
Yeah, he was with Angels. So, you know, to me, he was always like, you know, the pitcher that got away. You know, to me, I think of him like a modern day Nolan Ryan. Obviously, he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm not, you know, putting him on that level. But you know, he had a good career. I mean, the last couple of years before last year, you know, he had some, you know, bad seasons. The year before, like, what, 2-3 years ago, he was out of baseball completely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was hoping Mets could have at least got him as a, you know, like a five-starter or a lefty setup guy or something, you know. And the guy, you know, pitched for the Mets finally. But in any case, you know, he's having a good year right now. So, in any case, to fast forward to 2015, when I heard the Mets got Uribe and Kelly Johnson, I was like, okay, this is a good trade. But who did they get? Who did they give up? So then I found that they gave up John Gant and Rob Whelan. I was like, okay,
much of nobody.
Like, you know, they're like, you know, C level prospects at best, who I haven't heard of. Period.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so this is a good trade. I mean, we'll wait to see how good those guys turn out to be, if they surprise people and have a chip on their shoulder and pitch better, way better than people thought they would be. But yeah, I like the trade. You know, Mets, you know, obviously it's not a slugger or, a guy that's, a top of the order, or, I mean, I should say it's not a, you know, cleanup hitter, or even though Kelly Johnson did back cleanup these last couple of days, but, you know, he's not like a slugging type guy. He has a little pop. You know, knocked in his 10th home run on Saturday, a monster shot.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was a good trade. You know, so you know, I'm definitely for it. And earlier today, DeGrom pitched, you know, wonderfully. He went 7 2/3 of an inning. They pulled him out. They brought in Familiar. He got the out in the 8th inning, but unfortunately, Familia didn't have it, and Justin Turner knocked in an RBI to end the shutout. And then afterwards, the same inning, I can't remember which Dodger knocked in the tying run when Uribe, you know, wasn't ready for the pitch, because sometimes Familia he quick pitches, you know, like. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the term, Mac, but
You mean like pitching quickly?
Yeah, exactly. Like before, like the batter has a chance to, you know, like set up. You know, his batting stance. He like throws it. He throws it by them. You know,
right.
He throws a strike to you know surprise them. So, you know, Uribe. You know he was playing. He was a defensive replacement in the 9th. So he wasn't ready for the pitch. The ball got past him, and that tied the game. And then, but Uribe, you know, he redeemed himself, and he knocked in Granderson to score the game-winning run. So as a result, Mets split the series with the Dodgers, and the Mets, they're still behind the Nationals, you know, for the division. And they're, three and a half games in for the wild card, and I'd say they're probably like 2 games in the division. So Mets, you know, hopefully Mets can, make a big move and catapult them to postseason contention, hopefully a deep postseason contention. What's your thoughts
on that? Yeah, I mean, that trade is definitely going to help them. They needed a bat, and they got that in Uribe, and Kelly Johnson is a situational hitter, so So they needed. I think it's a good trade, and it's for, you know, it's gonna help the Mets. Hopefully, you know, it'll help them get into this wild card. So that way, they could be one of these teams competing for a wild card spot, or even the division. You know, they're still not dead yet in this division race for the NL East.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What hurt them is that they lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals recently, and they had a lead similar to this game. You know, they had a lead, but then they blew their game. It was Parnell who blew the game because Familia was warming up, but Terry Collins didn't go to him because the team had a 3-1 lead, and then Parnell blew the lead. They scored 3 runs on them, and Familia never got into the game, and they failed the opportunity to come back.
Yeah.
And Mets lost that series, I believe, 2 out of 3, if my memory serves me right. And Mets are going to face the Nationals very soon. So, hopefully Mets can redeem themselves, and because I think this is their last series of the year. So Mets hopefully with these new acquisitions and plus the emergence and the debut of Michael Conforto, hopefully this will be the difference, you know.
Comfortable.
I like that. He looks very comfortable. <The play. laughs> I'm gonna steal that one. I'm mad at you. I wish I came up with that. give this guy a check on his report card for that one. But in any case, moving along to the Yankees. Yankees, they had a a big series against the Yankees. Against the Twins recently, highlighted by A-Rod hitting 3 home runs, making himself the 5th oldest guy to hit 3 home runs in a game. He joined a lot of former Yankees, and Stan the Man Musial, the Cardinal legend. He joined Stan the Man Musial. He joined Jason Giambi, Babe Ruth. I think Reggie Jackson's on that list, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There might be one more. I might have said them all. I can't remember. But, a very legendary group.
It is. It definitely is. And A-Rod's been clutch for us this year. He has 23 home runs, close to 60 RBIs. He had that 3-home-run game yesterday. One of those home runs tied the game when we were behind 5-4. And the Yankees ended up coming back from a 5-run deficit to win the game 8-5. So that was really it was a clutch performance by A-Rod. And he's had a good year coming back from this this whole steroid controversy scandal that he's had to experience the last few years. So he's been playing good. I would give him a comeback player of the year because of this.
Yeah, he definitely used that year to rejuvenate his career. I thought missing a year would have made him skip a beat. You know, I thought this guy at best would have hit 10 home runs for the year, but this guy, Major League Baseball might check this year.
For real.
How this guy got the founding of youth? It's Babe Ruthian, Barry Bonds, I should say. Well,
yeah.
But
he's gonna be 40 tomorrow.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. And what was I gonna say? Plus the Yankees won again today, 7-2, I believe the final score was.
Yeah, they won 7-2. They scored 6 runs in the 6th inning. Chase Headley homered and drove in 3 runs. Nathan Eovaldi got his 10th win of the season. He's like 10-2 right now. Yankees should give him a lot of run support. Steven Drew had a 2-run home run that knocked Kyle Gibson out of the game. And, Yankees win back-to-back days here against the Minnesota Twin Sisters. So,
sister?
But, yeah, Yankees are playing good right now. You know, their pitching is playing good. Hitters are hitting. They have a good bullpen. They're 13 games over 500. And I think they're around 4 games in front of Toronto, so they're playing great right now. 7-2 since the All-Star break. you have to say right now, they might be the best team in the American League other than the Royals.
Yeah, and speaking of the Royals, they made a big trade. Yankees were rumored to be going after Cueto, but apparently the Royals got him, so that definitely solidifies their rotation.
Yep.
And I'm going to say something you never thought I'd say in all the years I've been doing the show.
What?
Congratulations, Cole Hamels and the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm trying not to throw up as I'm saying this. Because Cole Hamels threw his first complete no-hitter of his career, and it was the 13th no-hitter in franchise history. So congratulations to him. And, you know, they did it yet again. They you know, threw another no-hitter.
Yeah, and, congrats.
So that's clearly, you know, the highlight of their year. You know, they've had a lost year, and the Philly fans, you know, have something to be cheerful about.
Yeah, it was a good. It's probably his last game, also.
Yes,
with the Phillies.
I was just about to say that too. You stole my thunder. We got that ESP going, man. Yeah, this might be his last hurrah with the Phillies. You know, he's rumored to maybe be trained to the Yankees or wherever. We'll see after July 31st in a few days. Will he still be a Philly at the end of the season? Also, speaking of pitchers who've had end of their seasons, of course, today was a Hall of Fame, and four Hall of Famers entered their rightful place into the Hall of Fame. Pedro Martinez, the former Philly, Met, Red Sox, Montreal Expos, I think that's about it, Dodgers. Mm-hmm. He went in. Randy Johnson, of course, the former Mariner, D-back, Giant, he went in. And, of course, John Smoltz, the longtime Brave, and I think one time, what was it, Red Sox he went to, or Detroit Tigers he went to that last year?
I think it was the Red Sox, wasn't it?
I think you're right. I think it was the Red Sox. And, of course, Craig Biggio, Mr. Astro. You know, he went in, rightfully so, and they're all, you know, deserving of the Hall, and congrats to all the men that went in.
Congrats.
And shifting gears, speaking of Hall of Famer, Lou Lamoriello, he surprised the hockey world. He left New Jersey, the Tri-State area, and he went to Toronto Maple Leafs to revive that storied franchise. And now he's going to put them over the top.
Yeah, so after years with the New Jersey Devils, he's moved on.
Yeah, apparently, you know, the ownership, you know, they got him out. You know, a few months ago, he stepped down from being, like a GM president, and he was going to, you know, help the new GM. But shockingly, you know, last week, you know, he stepped down, and he announced that he's with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, that just came out of nowhere. I mean, if this guy was with the Rangers, man, they would have had a statue for him right outside Madison Square Garden, man.
Yeah, for real.
I'm sorry. I mean, if I was the owner of the Devils, I don't even care if this guy would have cursed me out in front of my face. That guy would be a devil for life. I'm sorry. This guy, I mean, there's not even a debate. He is the best, you know, GM in Devils history, and one of the best, probably the best GM in New York sports right now.
Yeah.
Even though the Devils have been on hard times recently. But yeah, you got to tip your cap to him, and you know, best of luck to him, you know, and you know, taking on this job, as long as it doesn't conflict with the Rangers. But you know, good luck to him. And
yeah,
Glenn Sather stepped down too recently too. So
yeah, I heard about that.
Two legendary guys in hockey, they stepped down. But moving on, of course, you heard about the fiasco with, you know, DeAndre Jordan and, you know, agreeing to deal with the Mavericks. and then he changes mind to go back, and he changes mind to go back with Clippers when he was about to sign with the Mavs. And, you know, they both shared their thoughts, and, you know, Mark Cuban was saying that, you know, to paraphrase what he was saying, you know, he basically, you know, he assumed that, you know, Jordan, you know, gave his word, you know, that he, you know, once he gave his word, he, you know, he assumed, you know, that it was golden.
Dallas.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't fault Mark Cuban, you know. They got the guy, you know, they got the guy they wanted. And because of Jordan, you know, changing his mind, they weren't able to, regroup and, you know, try to get one of these other centers, like, or power forwards, like, you know, like Aldridge or I'm trying to think who else. Who else was the other guy who was who's the other center? I'm trying to think. I can't hear you. Your phone broke.
Aldridge was one of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who was the other guy. There was another big guy.
Monroe from Pistons.
Right. There you go. Monroe. Yeah, he didn't give him a chance to, you know, try to, you know, regroup. And instead, you know, they just signed Darren Williams, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so basically, you know, that was that. And we'll see what happens with the Mavs. We'll see what reception, you know, Jordan gets when the Mavs play the Clippers this year.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be booed over there.
Yes, oh, yeah. No doubt about it. He's going to get booed for a guy who never played a game in there. Mm-hmm. It'll be like Bynum when he returned to 76ers a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll definitely keep you posted on that in the upcoming months when the NBA season starts. And, let's talk before we get to the review of Battleground. Yeah, we got to talk about this Hulk Hogan thing, man. Hulk Hogan apparently, you know, said a lot of racist stuff when he was secretly videotaped, you know, allegedly when he was committing adultery with one of his friends or best friend's wife, Bubba the Love Sponge wife. And apparently he said a lot of N-words and, you know, and apparently was, you know, according to the reports, you know, was, you know, complaining about maybe Brooke possibly dating a black guy, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, he wouldn't mind if the guy was rich, you know, like a basketball player or football player, to paraphrase. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's definitely gonna have a negative. It's definitely gonna leave a negative imprint on Hogan's career. You know, although I don't, like I said on my show, I don't think Hulk Hogan is racist, but
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, he was caught on saying racist things, and you know, from now going forward, people are not gonna see him in the same light as they did before. That some people are gonna see him as racist. You know,
yeah.
Some people are not going to support him anymore. And yet WWE cut all ties with him yesterday. Well, not yesterday, but, you know, during the week, by removing him from their website and as judge on Tough Enough and from their video game. So, yeah, this might tarnish his career a bit.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said, you know. I didn't see the videotape, and I didn't – all the transcript hasn't been revealed yet. What was revealed from what I read, I mean, he said a lot of racist stuff. Do I think he's racist? I don't know. I don't think so. But I mean, he did say a lot of racist stuff. I mean, I don't agree with what he said at all. And I mean, he definitely has racist tendencies, you know, ideologies and stuff like that. But do I think he's racist? I don't think so. I don't think he knows. What he was saying, it's kind of like, you know, it's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people who know him, you know, they're defending him, but I don't know him, so I can't defend him, but I don't know. It's very stupid. Had he not been doing what he was doing, allegedly, he wouldn't have been in that situation to be saying all those stupid stuff, but
yeah.
But I do think if it was up to me, I think WWE should have suspended him indefinitely without pay. And then around WrestleMania, you know, they bring him back, you know. WrestleMania, you know, so, you know, the WrestleMania event itself, you waive the event. You don't promote him, and, you know, you make him make a surprise appearance, apologize publicly. And the fans, you know, should forgive him by then. But, yeah, I think that, you know, do I think they should have fired him? I don't think they should have fired him. I understand why. You know, he said a lot of stupid stuff, racist stuff. But I think they should have suspended him indefinitely. Yeah, they, you know, they had to take him off the Tough Enough. I mean, that was a given. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they had to get rid of him from the show. You know, they didn't want that bad image, even though WWE in the past have done a lot of racist and questionable skits, you know, in the past.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it does seem a little hypocritical, you know, on their part. But, yeah, I mean, I think they did. The only thing I think they went a little overboard was taking him out of the game because, you know, that's for the fans. The fans are going to play. Vince McMahon's not going to play the game. Triple H is not going to play the game. Hulk Hogan's not going to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fans would have had the chance to play as him or beat him up in the game if they feel PO'd, you know, what he said. But, you know, they took him out of the game. So they, you know, that's that.
Yeah, so we have to see what happens going forward here with Hulk Hogan.
Well, hopefully.
I think WWE will eventually, you know, forgive him and reinstate him again.
Yeah, I think
it'll take some time, though.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely has a lot of people to apologize to, and hopefully, you know, he really learns his lesson and, you know, change his ideology, because for what he said was really stupid, you know. There's no doubt about it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. Hopefully, you know, I mean, he has apologized already, but, you know, I don't think anybody's going to forgive him anytime soon. But we'll see what happens. But shifting gears on Battleground, speaking of another legend, a guy who actually beat Hulk Hogan to win his first ever championship at SummerSlam 91. And, of course, I'm talking about the Dead Man.
Undertaker
returns. He shockingly returns and waited nearly 2 years to get his revenge on Brock Lesnar after Brock Lesnar nearly had a shot to regain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And my only problem with it, I'm glad Undertaker came back. That was an awesome return. The only problem I had was that they didn't resolve the match. You know, they should have had. You know, they should have shown him get beat up, and then he just Seth Rollins somehow crawls and get the pinfall. I mean, there was no disqualification.
Yeah,
the match it's like to be continued.
Should have continued.
That's all they. And then the event they should have just wrote to be continued, and they have the three dots because there was no he didn't get the nobody got the pinfall. They didn't even had they rung the bell, I would have been like okay. Okay, the match is disqualified.
Yeah.
Was the match ever a disqualification match or no disqualification match anyway?
I don't remember.
I assume it was a regular match, but they never rung the bell.
Yeah, it pretty much ended with Undertaker beating up Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Seth Rollins, like, teleported. I mean, you never saw. You didn't see Seth Rollins until the next.
He disappeared.
The next, on Raw.
Yeah,
I mean it was silly, and then they had and then Raw was good. You know, Raw had them battling. You know, it was old. You know, like a you know old school brawl. You know, and then Brock Lesnar's like, "I'm gonna kill you," and then apparently Undertaker's like, "You're gonna have to." So yeah, I'm psyched for that SummerSlam, man. That's
oh yeah, it's gonna be SummerSlam.
That's gonna be off the charts, man. What else? I'm trying to remember what else happened on Battleground. Let me see what else happened. Roman Reigns lost to Bray Wyatt, which surprised me. So that means that the feud's going to continue. It's going to be a tag team match in the upcoming SummerSlam between Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins, no, not Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, I'm trying to remember. Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns is gonna go against the new reformed Wyatt family with Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper, who interfered in the match to rejoin Bray Wyatt. So they're gonna fight each other. And there's rumors that there's gonna be a new Wyatt since Eric Rowan is hurt. That's why he didn't rejoin with them on that night last Sunday.
Yep.
So I'm thinking hopefully they'll get Bo Dallas and then change his name from Bo Dallas to Bo Dallas Wyatt.
I think
it would be awesome. And then wait for Eric Rowan to rejoin. And then you have a 4-man group.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then the rumor is that Sting might face a 6-man tag team match. So that's the rumor.
That'd be interesting.
That would be definitely interesting. And hopefully, you know, Sting will fight Undertaker at WrestleMania. But the rumor is that Vince McMahon isn't, you know, cool with that idea. But hopefully, maybe it's a smokescreen. They're trying to shock us by making it happen, and they're just downplaying it. Hopefully,
yeah.
Let's see. What other major stuff happened at the pay-per-view event?
Cena defeated Kevin Owens.
Right. Cena is still the United States champion, and they're hinting that they're gonna unify the United States and the World Heavyweight Championship between him and Rollins. Cesaro looks like he's gonna face Owens as a result at SummerSlam.
Yep.
Let me see what other matches happen at
Primetime Players defeated New Day.
Right. So they retained the tag team titles. I'm trying to think what else happened.
Charlotte with Paige, and Becky Lynch defeated Brie Bella with Nikki Bella and Alicia Fox.
Right, that's true.
And Sasha Banks.
That's right. What other match was there?
Oh, yeah, Randy Orton defeated Sheamus.
Right. Yes, that is true. What other major matches was there?
That's the ones I can think of.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any other matches.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what's going on Raw tonight, man. I mean, tomorrow night, I should say. You got any last word you'd like to say?
Check out my show, IMAX, Saturdays at 11. Come back here, check out Sports of Legend with Will and me every Sundays at 6.
All right, you heard the man. Check out both shows. Check out IMAX, Saturdays at 11. And check out this show, Sports of Legend, every Sundays at 6 on the Block Talk Radio. I'm William Ramo. He's Mo Cauley Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week.